Oh, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
So this morning, I'll share a little bit about what we'll be doing for this meeting, and a little bit about the burden of the training, and also how we will carry this out. Then after my sharing, there will be four brothers. Each will share anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes, kind of a summary or preview to help us get into the coming weeks. So just as a introduction to this time, brothers and sisters, the brothers in Bellevue have been praying for some time on how do we carry out the burden of the growth in life. So in the numbers training, in the winter training, the brothers spoke the burden, the Lord's up-to-date burden in his recovery is to form the army.
Amen.
Now, in order to form the army, you have to have the soldiers in the army, and those ones need to be trained. They need to reach a certain maturity, growth in life.
Right.
How does this happen? We must, it happens through training. So you can say that, yes, we need to grow in our spiritual life, but we need both the growth in life and we need training. So the burden of this time, and brothers and sisters, this kind of training is not the same as the semi-annual trainings. This is not something carried out by Living Stream Ministry. This is carried out by the brothers in Bellevue. And we're very much trying to find our way along, too. So we've split this first session into 9 weeks, two sessions of 9 weeks. And we will be taking this book, The Practical Lessons on the Experience of Life. And the book is available on this table, and you can purchase it after the meeting. It's also available in the Collected Works of Witness Lee if you've purchased that set in 1964, Volume 4. So there, we will be taking this book, and this will help us in our training.
Amen.
So let me first share the burden of this training. So, you know, the disciples went through a training. They went through 3.5 years of training with the Lord Jesus. And even after the Lord died and resurrected, he was still training them. If you read in Acts chapter 1, it says that he was there for 40 days. 40 days is actually a significant number of trial, testing, and training. So, and if you add this together, you could think, well, actually, the disciples got 4 years, about 4 years of training, which is like a college education, right? So, even to prepare the disciples, they had to be trained. And one of the things that I appreciate, you know, so this book on the practical lessons of the experience of life, a lot of us have been in this book, The Experience of Life. And there are four stages in here, which I'll read to you. The first stage is in Christ. The second stage is abiding in Christ. The third stage is Christ living in me. And the fourth stage is Christ's full growth in us. Now, according to the ministry, one who is full grown needs to be in the fourth stage. So, we've read this book, and in fact, a couple years ago, we had a ministry schedule of getting into this, which is very good. However, I think we still need the practical help to getting into this book.
Right.
Now, when we talk about training, I like to think about it like this. You know, when Peter, he was being trained, he saw the revelation that Jesus was the Son of the living God.
Amen.
So he got the knowledge. He got the revelation even, not just doctrinal knowledge. He got revelation. Yeah. So the first thing we need is revelation. We need to see something. That's part of our training. But is seeing it enough? No, it's not enough. So not too much longer after that, when they came down from the mountain, there came a practical experience where someone came to Peter and asked, does your teacher pay the temple tax? Right? And Peter says, sure, he pays the temple tax. Doesn't everybody? But he had just seen, not too much before, that Christ was the Son of the living God. But he didn't know how to apply it. Right? So, when he went to be with the Lord spoke to him. What happened here? Do the sons actually pay the temple tax? And so Peter got the practical help. Here was an experience, a practical experience, that so he saw something, but that wasn't enough. He needed the practical experience, something in his daily life, something as practical as paying tax, right? So I think that's kind of the second stage of our being trained. Now, this may not be so much in the ministry, but I would like to say there's a third stage, which is not only do we see the vision and the revelation, and not only do we have the practical experience, but the third is that we should be able to lead others. We need to be able to teach others, and not just a doctrinal teaching, but lead others into that experience. That's the real training. If you have passed through all three stages, you've seen something, you've gotten the practical experience and you've applied it, you've enjoyed it. And then the third step is that you can lead others into that same experience. And that's what we want to get into in this training. So it's very crucial that we don't just read by ourselves. We don't just gain some doctrinal knowledge, which is, you know, when we read the experience of life, I think we all saw something. But were we able to apply it in our experience? Were we able to really get into consecration? Were we really able to get into the anointing, the fellowship of life? All of these things, right, that are very crucial in our growth in life. This is part of our education. This is part of our training to become the army, right? So the verse that the brothers brought out in the training was 1 John 2, verse 13. He says, part B, I write to you young men, because you have overcome... Okay, actually... Yes. I write to you young men, because you have overcome the evil one. And then in 1 John 2:14, I have written to you young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. There's three things here. The young men, these are the ones, not just young, these are the ones who constitute the army. These are the ones who are in this, the grown ones who can be trained and are in the army. They have three characteristics. They are strong. The word of God abides in them, and they can overcome the evil one. Amen. So this is the burden that we're trying to enter into. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
Our small groups, the small group time is crucial for us to have the application, right? So what we would like to do is we should all individually be in the message. So this coming week will be message one. So we should all get into message one. And we should try to see something. We should try to maybe take some notes and write down what you saw. Now, this is the matter of regeneration, and Brother Sherman will get more into this. But We've all experienced regeneration, right? But can we lead others, right? That's the third step. Now, so we need to go through all three stages. See something, experience it, and lead others. So that's why we need our individual study, and then we need the small groups. The small groups help us to apply what we've seen, and then also to help us to lead others. So the way we're carrying out this training is that the small groups will meet every week. And once a month, we will have this kind of meeting where we'll have an overview of the messages and we'll have some overflow of how what we've seen and what we've applied. So at the end of this meeting, we will have some time where we can break them into small groups. And we'd like to keep the small groups really small, like four. But I know that it may not be practical, so we could go up to six, right? So 4 to 6, but four is a really good number. So that's just kind of an introduction word on the burden of the training and how we're going to carry it out. So now the brothers will share a little bit more concerning each message. Yes.
Need to be trained on this. Amen. Well, training is quite crucial. I don't know how many of us in this room have been trained in the military. But I was. I joined the Navy, and I spent 3 years there, and I was trained before I went out to fight. And training is so crucial. You know, they didn't have the full-time training when I was young, but now I teach in the full-time training because over the years we were able to accumulate enough that qualified us as good as anybody else that we had to teach in the training. But those, I really am appreciative of everybody that has been able, had the chance to go to the full-time training for 2 years. That is really quite marvelous. The thing is, if you're going to be trained, you have to be trained by somebody who knows what he's talking about. And Brother Lee is the top trainer as far as God's economy and anything related to God's economy. And so when we are trained, when we open the books, it's all in the books. He said that just before his passing to go be with the Lord. He said it's all in the books because a sister was worried, now that he's gone, what's going to happen? He told her, it's all in the books. This is what we've got here right now. Practical lessons on the experience of life. Now these are practical ways to get into that other book, The Experience of Life. Now that other book is a very good book. I've read it a couple of times. And it really is enlightening. And I love seeing everything. But when you get into this book, it gets practical. What you do with everything that you see there. And that's what we need. We need to be practical on how to know what life is and how to convey life. Actually, we have to realize Christ himself is the life. He is the life. When you receive Christ, you receive life. When you receive the life, you can't receive the life apart from receiving Christ. Christ is our life. We received life. Now, we need the growth in this life. We need the growth in this life. And we also need to consider how we were saved. How we were saved. I was quite young, but I was very keen on how I got saved. How I got saved is a lot what I use when I'm talking to someone else, trying to perceive where they are, but not everybody's like I am. So I'm short. If I don't find somebody just like I am, I often don't know how to reach them. So we need training on how to reach the people that are around us. And you know, God is not asking us to be Billy Graham, but He is asking us to be trained to know how to meet the need of individuals we may work with, the people that are our neighbors, or even not just the regeneration. We're talking about regeneration this week and next week. But even the growth in life, to help one another to grow in life, this all requires a kind of training. We've made up some questions that you'll be getting. They all should have got it right on the chairs. Okay, for this week we'll have three. Okay, why is it important to know what stage and condition of life others are in? That is going to be answered in the first chapter of this book. But this is just to create and to stimulate fellowship. Fellowship. We come together three or four. That's why we don't want to have too big a crowd. Because we will all want to just come together with just three or four, maybe five, six for the max. And learn regeneration. We may be regenerated, but we need to learn regeneration. And how can we use this? How can we be trained in this? And how can we sense by the Lord's mercy where others are? We should be able to sense where they are. Of course, I've done a lot of gospel preaching in my younger days. I knocked on a lot of doors. We went to Taiwan and learned how to do that. And then we came back and we had what we call blitzes. We went to different churches and blitzed here and blitzed there and blitzed here. And I went to all of those blitzes I could. I think I made all of them. We had quite a few of them. And I knocked on the doors and I just had a lot of experiences there. Some were very good and some were pretty hard. You know, I don't have time to give you any experiences. But I realized one thing. Even though I knew somewhat how to do this based on a 2 or 3 days of training that we had there, I didn't have the discernment that I needed to have. You know, life is a matter of being trained in life will give you discernment to help you know where the people are. Just like and I like that first song we sang about passing all earthly bribe. That's an experience of life also. If you come to the place where you're not dependent on anything of this earth, but you're just solely in the Lord's hands, that's an experience. We need to have that kind of experience where we are just cared for by the Lord. If you reach that experience, you'll be walking on a cloud. You'll just be absolutely liberated. To touch the Lord in these things and learn these things liberates us. And then the more we're liberated in this kind of way, the more useful we become in the Lord's hands. You know, the Lord is spreading His kingdom. The Lord Jesus prayed, Father, Thy kingdom come. And Thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. What is the Lord's will on the earth? Well, the Lord's will on the earth is for His kingdom to come. That's His will. And it comes in the churches. And it comes as we spread this life. When you speak to someone about Christ, you're speaking life to them. And faith comes by hearing. You speak to them, they hear something, that will impart faith into them. As that imparts faith into them, the Lord is preparing them to receive that life. That's regeneration. So, we have to be those that can know how to speak to them, to fill them with faith. Sometimes I'll get on an airplane and I'll be going a long ways, I'm kind of a social person, so I don't just sit there like a bump on a log. If I'm sitting there with someone, I may tell them, what do you do for a living? You know, and so he explains what he does. Then guess what? 90% of the time he's going to ask, what do you do? And then I'm going to say, well, I'm going to this place to give a conference. Oh, what kind of a conference? Well, it's actually a Bible conference. Oh, Bible conference. Now, some people write this. Forget about it, I'm done. If that's okay, then we both go to sleep. No problem. But if he has some curiosity, he says, are you a pastor? They'll ask this or that, and then I'll say, no, I'm not a pastor, but, you know, I just read the Bible a lot, and I don't have any title. But you see, then you start to, I will speak to them as long as they're curious, and if possible, get them to pray. Get them to pray is the biggest step they take. Even the thief on the cross, when he said, Lord, remember me in the king in your kingdom. And he said, this day shall you be with me in paradise. That thief wasn't even baptized. And he didn't have an ounce of transformation. He couldn't. He just got saved. But he met the Lord and had that little conversation. If you can bring people to pray, then you've gotten a lot done. Of course, we do want to get them baptized. But even if you can get them to pray on the plane, whether you have a way to get them baptized or not, that's a big step. That's a big step. And sometimes they're not ready. They're not ready, so don't push that. But what if they're not ready, but they're still curious? You don't know how many people worry about someday they might have to face God. I got stories I could tell you, but I don't have the time. My daughter Barb, she worked up here at this Burger King for a while. A young girl, her same age, came down with cancer. And her parents lived in Virginia. And so she was quitting the job, and she was going to go back to Virginia. And Barb had not shared the Lord with her. So she said, when are you going back to Virginia? Well, next Wednesday. She said, could I come and see you on Tuesday night? And the girl said, yes, do. She knew Barb was a Christian. So Barb went. And she went with Alicia Snyder, older sister, a little bit older sister. And they went, and they shared the Lord with her, and she was so happy that they came, because she had a feeling she might die, and she's only maybe 19. But she had thought about what it would be like if she had to meet the Lord. Total stranger. Lots of people think this. Don't think they don't think this. We're made in the image of God. They're looking forward. People think about, what will I do? Look at all these people that go to church. What will I do? They think about that. And so, of course, Alicia helped. Because, you know, but anyway, they got her to pray. And then they said, well, we probably should take you someplace where the brothers could baptize you. She said, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know if sisters can baptize or not. You know what the newly saved one said? You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. So they threw the water in the bathtub. And Barb and Alicia baptized this new one, and they sent her out. And they were both fully convinced that she was absolutely saved. Well, you can't imagine what that'll do to you. Because, but you gotta know where people are. And of course, in her case, wow, what a horrible surprise that she had come down with cancer and she might not live very long. I mean, when you're 18, 19, that's, there couldn't be worse news that you're gonna hear. So it opened her up, see. Well, I think I've more than taken my time, don't you think? anyway, I just want to say, if we know, we need to learn these things, just to learn them. We need to learn them. And then not necessarily to go knocking on doors, but you're going to meet people in your daily life all the time that you can use this. I have people come to me at work when I was with Boeing. And I would never preach the gospel on company time. But I'd say, they would come to me because something happened in their life. But they knew I was a Christian. And they'd say, I'd like to talk to you. One guy told me, I think you got a little better connection to the man upstairs than I do. Let him say what he wants. There's something inside that is beckoning. So, and I'll say, okay, how about we have lunch together? So I did on my time, not the company's time. The company did not hire me to preach the gospel. They hired me to do a job at Boeing, and then I can preach the gospel on my time. But you will have contacts there in every kind of environment. We just need to be trained a little bit to know how to do these things. Amen? If we get into this, let me tell you, the expert is training us. Brother Lee is absolutely an expert in any matters of life. He doesn't just have the knowledge, he has the experience. And he has the perception of what we need to look for when the Lord is guiding us. Amen? I don't know who's next. Oh, my brother Daniel is next.
You're going to fall asleep.
Oh, Daniel, you're going to do fine.
I don't think so. Anyway, before I go, I'm going to be more like a professor, maybe, just read from my notes, because there's a lot of points in this book on regeneration. But before I enter into that, I'd just like to remind myself and each and every one of us that being a Christian is all about living. Brother Sherman talks about the growth in life, and that should be our goal. We should pursue the growth in life. 2 weeks ago, before I say that, growth in life doesn't have a set pattern, how much you grow. It is on an individual basis. The Lord gives us the capacity, the portion, and we grow in life as long as we participate in the Lord. And we grow in life to that extent. Now, 2 weeks ago, I was in a memorial meeting in Anaheim, the passing away of Joey Marks, Ed Marks' third son with a Down syndrome. I was so touched. My wife and I were so touched, and we were crying in both the memorial and the burial meeting. Because what is our impression of a Down syndrome? They are, if they don't grow consciously, mentally, we don't blame them, right? Because they are Down syndrome. But when they start talking about Joey, at the start, he doesn't even know how to read and write. But later on, he started to read and write, and his penmanship was perfect. And then the Lord gave him a portion that he loves to go to the meeting. He passed away at 33, just like our Lord Jesus. And every time he goes to the meeting, he would go and seek out new ones and hug them. He has a thick pad of paper. He would write down the name of these saints and their phone number. And he will remember them. So every time he goes to the meeting, he would just hug everyone. And, you think that hugging is childish, maybe, but yet his hugging touched so many saints, because that is a kind of a living that he expressed out. People are happy when he sees him, and, of course, when he passed away so suddenly, Ruth was was blaming herself. But then, through the fellowship, we all got so encouraged that each and every one of us has a growth in life, and that life will bring us into maturity. I am 110% sure that our brother Joey is mature in life because of that. So we should not be expecting how this growth in life should be. Do not compare my growth in life with that of Ray. You can never compare with Ray. Ray is always bubbling, right? So full of life. So everybody is different. But I'm just happy that I get to go into this book because we actually took this message, part of this message, in a training that the Chinese-speaking saints had with Seattle down in Kelso in 2001, 18 years ago. And I forgot everything about this. If I have to preach the gospel, what would I say? I would say, oh, you call in the name of the Lord, your sins are forgiven, call in the name of the Lord, be baptized, and read the Bible. That's how we preach the gospel, right? But, you know, let me go into this. Before we go about regeneration, there are actually 7 subsidiary items of God's salvation before us being regenerated completely. And the first item is about the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'd like to read 1 Peter 1:2. It says, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Now in footnotes, I encourage you guys to read all the footnotes in this verse. I would just like to mention footnote 2:2, the word according. Here, the divine economy through the operation of the Trinity of the Godhead for the believer's participation in the triune God is unveiled. God the Father's selection is the initiation. God the Spirit's sanctification carries out the selection of God the Father, and God the Son's redemption, signified by the sprinkling of His blood, is the completion. So through these steps, believers has been selected, sanctified, redeemed to enter into the enjoyment of the triune God, the God, Father, the Son, and the Spirit, into whom they have been baptized and whose virtues they are enjoying. So an important thing here is we enter into the triune God. We enjoy the triune God, then the God will take care of the rest. Whether we are baptized, whether we are not baptized, the Lord will take care of that. So we don't have any merit. We don't have anything good. Even if we are a very moral person, we have nothing when we come before the Lord. It doesn't matter if someone is a killer and I'm not. I'm a good person. We're all the same. We have no merit, and we need the sprinkling of the blood. Amen. Now the second item is about the curse, redemption from the curse of the law. Christians have a misconception here. They think that being redeemed from sin is to be redeemed is to be redeemed from sin, from Satan, or from hell. Is this statement correct? This is not correct. And most of the time we do that. We preach that. The correct way is to redeem. We need to know what the redeem means. Redeem is to buy back, to purchase back with the price. So what is God doing in purchasing? He doesn't need to pay sin, the Satan, or the world. He is paying the price, and the price is Christ Jesus, in order for us to be delivered from the requirement of the law. That is what redemption is all about. And then after this redemption, we have the forgiveness of sin. And then the sin, you know, it's like after forgiveness, there is the cleansing of the sins of stain. Because like when we eat something, some people are clumsy. Every time they eat food falls in their shirt and they're, oh, there's one over there. And then even if though you scratch it off with a napkin, there is still a stain, right? So the cleansing of the blood would also remove the stain. See how detailed God is? And then the fifth item is about sanctification. Sanctification is to be separated from the world, from the people of this world. Following sanctification is justification. Are they the same thing? To be made holy and justified, they are not. If we are not separated, if we are still in the heap of sinful people, we cannot be separated. We cannot be justified. So once we are saved, we have to remove ourselves out of that worldly situation and then be part of Christ. We need to separate ourselves out of that. Then reconciliation is the seventh item. King James Version translated reconciliation as atonement, which is probably not, this is incorrect. Reconciliation actually means that we have nothing contradictory to God. We are at peace with God in a full way. So after these seven items, we have regeneration. And regeneration is simply meant to be reborn again, to have a different life, divine life added into our spirit. And that is how the Lord is doing, by adding his life into our spirit. And then through the spirit, we can live the living, the God-man living that he wants us to live. That's the goal that the Lord wants. And that's just, regeneration is just the first step of our salvation. So, next is, what do we receive after regeneration? We receive the consummated triune God dealing and dwelling in us. We have the triune God as the internal life dwelling in us. King James Version, again, you know, translates this as everlasting life, which is wrong. It's eternal. Everlasting has the time element in it, but eternal doesn't have that. So we receive this eternal life. And then the third item is about the divine nature with its taste. When this divine life comes to us, we naturally have the taste for the Lord's word. And we need to, you know, build that continuously so that our appetite for the food would, you know, would keep on increasing in us. And we have the divine life with the divine ability to live, and we have the divine nature as our taste. Life is mostly about ability and energy, and nature, which the divine nature is mostly about our taste for that. And then the law of life with the power of life. This law of life is the inner sense of life, which is much higher than the Ten Commandments. And many times I feel that the inner sense of life today that is working in each one of us bring us further and deeper into Christ, because we will feel something deeper and we would repent over this due to the inner sense of life, and not because a pastor tells us that we need to do that. And the last item would be, what do we become by regeneration? We become the new creation. We become children of God. I heard one time I went to a meeting, a denomination meeting, memorial meeting. And at first the pastor was quite good. He said we are saved to become children of God. And then later on he added something. He said we are adopted sons of God. And I just said, scratch that guy off. You know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. It was a disappointment. And then the third item is about us being members of the body of Christ. So you see that here, you know, all that the Lord wants us to do is just to enjoy him, live him, breathe him, everything, so that this growth can come, this life can come into us, and we will grow in life. May we truly, through our pursuit of this item, be able to enjoy this God's full salvation.
Amen. I'm going to share consecration. After generation, there's a consecration. In the Bible, there's in many places, many verses talk about a consecration. one place in the Old Testament, Numbers 2, this is a vow, a Nazarene vow, and let me read it to you. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when a man and a woman makes a special vow, the vow of a Nazarite to separate himself to Jehovah. So this is the consecration, is you give yourself to the Lord. You separate yourself to the Lord. And also in the New Testament, there's another place, Romans 12:1, Apostle Paul, here talk about consecration. I exalt you, therefore, brothers, through the compassion of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. And here we are the member, and we're a member of the body. But also here, the sacrifice is not dead, it's a living sacrifice. And be holy. And this is also means we're separate to God as a living sacrifice, a living body. And you have to make yourself like ready. Like say, I love you, I cannot be with you. My spirit be with you. It sounds like good, but it'd be better your body with me. So we can be here and the fellowship. Yeah. So many times, when we have a service need some help, and first of all we want to see availability. Are you available? Yeah, available. Yes, you really can have a body in there. My first consecration is after almost 13 years after my regeneration. That's a special conference training. I titled it the Glories of a God and the Way of a Cross. At that meeting, I was so captured by the Lord. I just want to pour out of my whole being to the Lord. Amen. Lord, I want to consecrate myself to you. And that meeting and a consecration is before, it's just like I want to have my whole being. And be a little bit more specific, or what is the concrete whole being? And then later on, we'll get more detail. I want to consecrate my eyes to the Lord. I don't want to look at anything I'm not supposed to look. I want to consecrate my hand to the Lord. I want to do something not for myself. That's also to the Lord. So that consecration making my Christian life, it's just right, like it's turning point. And like we have this meeting, usually I would sit in the last row. I was not going to sit in the front row because much experience. And there's on the weekend, most of the time you will not find me because I was somewhere enjoying to the earthly things. And a consecration, you turn your thought to the world. You turn the thought to the Lord, even to the brothers, sisters, all completely different. When I come back from the consecration, I looked at my brothers, sisters. I have the inner feeling they are my brothers, sisters. They are we are in the one family. They are my brother, sister. And I go on a road trip, and before I probably would not just care for much. I will pack all the ministry books. I'm not just a packet. I open up to read it. Yeah. It's just that experience. Brother here said, the consecration is the base of every kind of experience after regeneration. All spiritual experiences after regeneration depend on the step of consecration. Yeah. So my experience, it does confirm. Without that consecration, my Christian life still going, but do not have that intimate relationship with the Lord. Now I can really, really see, or really, really experience, I have the experience with the Lord. The consecration is not a one, it's like a one all at once. Consecration also have a two aspects. There's aspect a Christ to pass through, a 过关, and a way to walk on. You need to have the overcoming life. We're not just want to consecrate once and then set aside and go on my own life. We need a refresh. We need a fresh consecration every day even. Yeah. Come to the Lord to have the Lord really, really work in yourself, touch yourself. Oh, Lord Jesus. In the beginning, we sing the psalm. Here we say, no mortal tongue can describe the freedom of soul. Arise, the holy bargain strike, the fragment for the whole. These consecration song really uplift our spirit. We realize we purchased by God by His precious blood. We're not belong to ourselves. We have a realization ourselves are not belong to us. We belong to our dear Lord. So we want to have a way, working in us. Need a consecration. Now, maybe at this point you think consecration. I want to consecrate, but I just don't know how. But you don't need to have to really seek for it. I want to do this. I want to do that. You just be in the flow, and follow the church leading, and you go all the there's a conference, the training you can. The Lord will work in you. Amen. My case, the Lord work take 12, 13 years until that great light shine upon me and make me turn. But we. In our hand, we have to have a seek. Lord, I want to open myself to you. I give you permit. You can work into me. And Lord, have a way to work in us. At that time, you consecrate yourself. Lord, everything will become for you. It will be all real, all practical. Amen. I think I'll share it here. Amen. I'm done.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So glad through the fellowship the brothers have arranged to have this training for us all. The Lord knows how much I need to be trained. So we can be trained by the Lord. Amen. And then by the ministry. Amen. And then also by one another through our groups. Amen. So the first couple of weeks will be on the matter of regeneration. And then chapter 3 or week 3 is on consecration. And then week 4 is on this matter of the fellowship of life. Amen. The fellowship of the divine life. So following consecration, we may have the thought, okay, Lord, here I've given myself to you. What can I do for you? Our thought may be to work for the Lord. But actually, consecration is not for us to work for the Lord. Amen. Consecration is our cooperation to allow the Lord to rot himself into us. Amen. It's our consent to allow him to work within us. So it's not an outward work, but actually a matter of life. So consecration is for life. And so following consecration, we have three basic but crucial matters of life. And first is the fellowship of life. And then following that is the consciousness or the sense of life. And then there is the law of life. But for week 4, it's the matter of the fellowship of life. So actually, to know life, we need to know these three basic matters. So regarding the fellowship of life, when we consider the fellowship of life, we must go to our brother John. The Gospel of John is on life. It's on how to have and receive this divine life. But then in 1 John, the first epistle of John, the subject is on the fellowship of the divine life. So we see here now what the fellowship of the divine life is. And so actually, Brother Lee, in this book, Practical Lessons on the Experience of Life, he says that 1 John chapter 1 is one of the greatest chapters in the entire scriptures. Amen. Wow. He says that actually, because this chapter is concerning the fellowship of life, it occupies an extraordinary position. There are other chapters that concern the fellowship of the Spirit, but here, in this chapter, and actually the whole epistle, it's on the fellowship of the divine life. So I'd like to just read a few verses from the first chapter. If you have your Bibles, you could turn to 1 John with me, but I'm just going to read the first four verses first. Verse 1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and report to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us," the apostles, "that which we have seen and heard," that's the apostles, right? "We report also to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write that our joy may be made full." Okay, so if you have your Bibles, stay there. We'll read the subsequent verses together. But first here we see in verse 3, it mentions the fellowship, right, with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This fellowship that the apostles had was with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And implied in this is this transmission of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 13, it's the love of God and the grace of Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So here the fellowship is with the triune God. So we see a vertical fellowship. But actually, there's also a matter of a horizontal fellowship. It is that we also would be in this same fellowship. Okay, so this fellowship is the fellowship of the body of Christ. It's the fellowship, it's the same fellowship of the apostles in Acts 2:42. This fellowship is a unique fellowship because this fellowship is a matter of life, and the source of life is Christ Himself. So because there's only one life, there's only one fellowship. And we need to be in this fellowship. Now, we can liken this fellowship to the current or flow of blood within us. Okay? So it's like the flow or the circulation in the body. So a baby, when a baby is born, from the time they're born, they have this circulation of life. Okay? There's a flow. The heart is beating. There's a circulatory system, and the blood is circulating and flowing. Okay, so with this flow of life, there's a fellowship of life. This flowing brings us into a oneness. So even though my body has many members, our eyes, our hands, our feet, yet there's one flow, there's one fellowship, there's one circulation. Okay, so this circulation supplies the nourishment and also carries away the discharge. Amen. So everything that we need is in this flow, and everything that we don't need is carried away by this flow. Amen. So this is very crucial. This is not just a weak lesson. This, as all things related to life, this is something that we don't graduate from. We need for our whole life to see. Actually, in the New Jerusalem in Revelation 22, we see a river of water of life proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Amen. And this typifies the fellowship. Actually, it reaches the entire city. So the New Jerusalem is a city of fellowship. So for eternity, we will have this fellowship. This fellowship also produces our inner function. So a baby, again, when they're born, they have their arms and their legs and their hands and their feet, but they're not walking. They're not talking. Right? But they feed, right? And they get nourished, and there's a circulation of life. And then you know what? The teeth come out. They grow. And there's a function. So actually, this fellowship of life produces our inner function. It's not like religion. It's not like you're assigned some task or you carry something out in an outward way. But actually, our inner function of life must be produced from the inner flowing of life. And actually, I'll get to there in a moment. So we continue in 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7 now. So if you have it, can you read with me? Verses 5 through... Actually, let's read through verse 9 together, if you have it. And this is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and are not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from every sin. If we say that we do not have sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. So when we're in the light, then his blood cleanses us, and then we have fellowship with one another. So in the Old Testament, in typology, in Exodus and Leviticus, we see something concerning the sprinkling of the blood and the anointing. So any furniture or any person who wants to come into the presence of God must be sprinkled by the blood and must be anointed by the oil. So these qualify us to have the fellowship, to have the fellowship with God and to have the fellowship with one another. We realize that actually a lot of problems occur because of the lack of fellowship. So even physically, you know, the flow of blood is so crucial. If there's a lack of flow, there's a problem. So people have heart attacks, people have strokes. You know, I've seen people who have had to have amputations because there was a lack of blood flow. It's serious. No flow, there's no life there. So we need to be in this fellowship, in this circulation of life. And sometimes there are problems. you look at Corinthians and the church in Corinth, which actually is a typical church. They had some problems. But our apostle Paul, Brother Paul, in 1:9, he was faithful to say, you know, God is faithful to call us into this fellowship. Because he knew that when problems come up, we may have the thought, well, okay, I'm going to solve this problem. Maybe you're good at solving problems. Well, actually, what we really need is a fellowship of life. That will solve all our problems. We're not trying to, there is an example given, if there's a brother who may be proud, for example, it's not to come to the brother and say, brother, I think you're too proud, and try to correct a brother in an outward way. But actually, what that brother needs is to be in the fellowship and to be consecrated. Listen, if that brother can be brought to a point where he says, Lord, I give myself to you. I give myself to you for you to work in me and to allow you to rot yourself into me and for you to flow in me, then that problem will be taken away. The flow dissolves the problems. And I don't know if you've ever had this. I'll finish soon. But I just want to give an example. Last night in our home meeting, I won't go into details, but there is a situation that came up that was like, wow, what happened? There is some conflict, right? And I was just inwardly, I was like, Lord, what will you do? And I didn't know what was going to happen. So I wasn't directly doing anything, but things happened, and then I was like, well, Lord, what will you do? And I stepped back, and then it came to a point where one saint wanted to leave the meeting. But then the car was blocked in, and a brother would have to move his car in order for the sister to leave. Well, the brother had the sense within him he shouldn't move his car. I don't know. This was at my home, and I almost was like, okay, brother can move his car, and the sister can leave, and no problem. We'll work it out somehow. But the brother within him, I believe he was in the fellowship of life. He had the sense not to move his car. I was like, oh, Lord, what's going to happen now? And so, but anyway, then there was some fellowship. There was some fellowship by the door. And then this sister was brought back. And then we just somehow, there was a portion that we had printed out concerning the tree of life. And so then we just read through this portion. And then afterward, these ones said, wow, that was the best meeting I've been in. And wow, that was so amazing. And then it was like the body, something concerning the members functioning and the fellowship. What it was a fellowship. Was that there was a fellowship of life there that actually, there was one sister who was just, I think there was some offense maybe, and maybe some prior history, but just, there was a blockage there. But somehow through the fellowship of the other members, there was a flowing, and then there was actually a healing, and then there was a dissolving. It was just gone. And they were just so happy. And actually that happens when the fellowship is there, there's an enjoyment. There's a joy that our joy may be made full. Amen. So, for all of us, you know, the more consecrated we are, then we realize the flowing, we allow the Lord to flow in us, then it will take care of the problems between us and God, problems that we have with ourselves, and problems that we have with one another. So we can just learn through our fellowship with one another. And we're not here just to talk about fellowship. We want to have fellowship. So in our group time, may there be real fellowship and a real blending. The fellowship blends us together. It harmonizes us. It will adjust us. It will temper us. And for this, we do need to be touched. And we need to touch others. And through that, there's a breaking. And then there's a blending. And then there's the building. And then, you know, this staying in this flow eventually, like I said before, in Revelation 22, there's a river of water of life. Amen. And this is flowing. And so it's a city of fellowship. And this fellowship will produce us as precious materials for his building. And we'll gain his building. And we'll gain what he's after. Amen. So I think we'll just have some questions about how to continue.
Right. So just wanted to end with this particular word. It's easy for us to, when we get into these matters, to be very general. And when you hear the word regeneration and the word consecration, the word fellowship of life, we may think, oh, I've got it. But I know that. But we actually don't actually have the details. So in this training, we want to get into the details, to be specific and not general. So, and you'll find in these messages, and you've already heard some of the fellowship, there's so many items in regeneration. There's so many items in consecration. Now, we don't just want to get it in a matter of, oh, I got the item. I understand it. I understand fellowship. No, I want to get into this item, and there might be many of them. But in our individual time, maybe we just get into a few of the items that touched us. And then we can seek the Lord, how do I enter into this experience in this item? And then when we come together in our groups, we fellowship to help one another get into the items. The specific details. You know, it's kind of like teaching someone how to drive. You know, you can say, okay, you need to learn how to drive. So I give you the manual. And you read the manual. You can't say after you read it, I know how to drive. So now I have to give you the detail. How do you parallel park? Okay, so I can give you the instructions. There's a lot of details. But then I need to be in the car with you to help you. Okay, now at this point you do this and you do this. So many details in driving. You don't get it once. You have to try many times. This is an example just to help us understand. In the matters of life, it's even more. Driving is simple compared to life. So how do we get into life? There's many details. There's many specifics that we need to help one another enter into so that we can grow in life. So we shouldn't try to, be overwhelmed. So it can be overwhelming because life is, there's so much. But let's give ourselves to get into a few points, to get into something specific, and then we can shepherd one another in our groups, and all of these things, so that we can grow in life in a mutual way. So we have a few minutes, and we need to form our groups. So we're not going to direct you on how you should form your groups. But if you need help to form the, you don't know who you should group with, then you can have fellowship with Dexter, Sherman, me, Michael, and some of the leading brothers. But we really want your group to be kind of a bio group, right? You should group yourself with ones you feel that maybe actually have a connection with these saints. And it would be very convenient for me to get together with these saints. That I can actually do this, right? We don't want to artificially put you with someone that's in Kirkland and someone that's in Renton, right? That doesn't work. Right. We don't know all the details. So we should use some of this time to seek one another. How do we form the groups? So let's use the remaining time we have to form our groups. And we would like to know which group you're in. So if you form the group, have someone, one of you, coordinate with us brothers to let us know what group you, who's in your group, and so we can just make sure everyone's in the group. So the two things, form groups. If you are not able to and you need help, then seek us. Another practical thing is I've gotten the email addresses, I think, of everyone. If you're not on the email list, if you haven't gotten an email, there was one sent out Thursday or Friday as a reminder for this meeting. We would like to make sure that everyone is on this email list. So, because every week, I know we've handed these out, but I'm sure we'll lose them. But we'll resend them out, and we'll send out reminders just as a way so that we can keep ourselves in the training. So the next meeting for us all together will be the second Saturday of April. And then the final one for the first term will be the second Saturday of May. So second Saturdays.